Hello and welcome to Jason and Ashley's Excellent Adventures. I am Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And this is the podcast that we do for you over here on Patreon that we always forget how we open.
Yeah.
We don't know how we open this. We have catchphrases and stuff like that.
Do we?
I don't remember. This is a closer talk. Interesting talk. We recently recorded an episode of Geek History Lesson about Cable. And if you don't know anything about Cable, he's the mutant Cable who travels through time. He's not literally a Cable, but that's his name. So he's a time traveler. And that got us to thinking. We were talking about time travel and the X-Men, and we were talking about time travel and Cable. And it got me to thinking, Ashley, and we briefly touched on this a little bit in the last Jason and Ashley's Excellent Adventures. And I don't know if you said this in the podcast, please remind me. Let's talk about time travel. Let's talk about where you would go as a time traveler. Let's talk about the rules of time travel, what we think the rules of time travel are. But first off, let's talk to this. Ashley, and you might have answered this before, but let's answer it again. You have a time travel machine. Do you want the TARDIS? Do you have a time travel machine that's your favorite? Is there a mode of time travel that's your favorite?
I don't know if I want the responsibility of the TARDIS.
You want the DeLorean?
I'll tell you, my favorite mode of time travel is from a property that I don't actually like. in Outlander, she goes to what is, I can't come up with the word right now, I'm sorry, a henge. She goes, like, Stonehenge, that's a henge, you know? She goes to a henge and she touches one of the magic rocks and falls into ancient Scotland.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, it's... I'm sorry if there's any Outlander fans out there. It's really dumb. And it's a really dumb book. Maybe the TV show's better. I don't know. The book is dumb.
It's Ron Moore. I hope it is.
And it's a romance novel dressed up as historical fiction. There's too much sex in
it. You know what my favorite time travel mode is?
The TARDIS?
No. There's a movie called Somewhere in Time. It stars Christopher Reeve and Jane Seymour. And he decides that he wants to go back to this hotel like existed
back
in the day.
Oh, you told me about that, yeah.
So he goes into the room. He dresses like it's like 1880s and he puts everything around the room. And it's the idea that like if your mind can think you're in that time, you're in that time. It's really actually, it's not my favorite. I just think it's kind of the dumbest mode
of
time travel.
What I like about the Outlander idea of it is it's based on... you know, a henge was a magic site for early pagans and Celts.
It's also a thing used on doors.
A henge?
Yes, a hinge.
No, a henge with an A.
Yeah, a hinge.
E. No. Fuck you. and, you know, it's like the idea of magic or the idea of magic that already existed in the world, like, right, like fairy magic and ley lines and stuff like that. Like, I like the idea that the natural world could do that for you under all the right circumstances, as opposed to putting it into a computer. Like, to me, that's a more romantic idea of time travel.
Nice.
Do I think it's the most likely one? No.
Okay. So touching hinges.
Yeah, touching hinges.
Yeah, hinges.
Stonehenge.
Yep, Stonehenges. So you have this, you have a hinge right in front of you.
We
picked it up at the hardware store. You've done your magic, your ritual.
Yeah, lit some candles.
Yeah,
I put a crystal on.
Yeah, you listen to some River Dance. And
River Dance. Barf.
And you've said the words Alakazam, then you touch the hinge, and now you're going to time travel.
You're mixing like three different ethnic types of magic right now.
Yep, that's why we know it'll work.
Okay.
So you touch it, and you travel through time. Where do you arrive?
Yeah, I said this in the last episode because I wound up taking over the discussion a little bit. I would want to go to Elizabethan England, and I would want to go to the court of Queen Elizabeth the First, the good one.
Yeah.
The second Elizabeth, not such a fan of.
Even though this would be like a difficult time period for you as a woman.
Yes. And I think that the only way to survive is to basically be a member of the court and to be in favor with Elizabeth, because otherwise you'll just get murdered.
Now, can I ask you, because you know a lot about this time.
I do.
How would one do that? Just in case any of our listeners are thinking about time traveling to this motive.
Normally, per the period, one has to be of noble birth. Can you
fake that?
Offer a service. Well, I'm way smarter than anyone who exists during this time period, just based on the fact that I come from a modern age
Devil's
and possess
advocate.
More knowledge.
Wouldn't they just be like, you're a witch?
Right, they might. No, but see, that's as a female, you're pretty much screwed no matter where you go.
Okay.
I don't know, 19... 90.
Yeah, I was gonna be like 1950. Yeah, you're probably screwed.
But I mean, think about going in, even think about me going to 1950.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely getting beat up by someone, like, for you
could,
sure.
But you could make it work in 1950.
I think if you're clever enough, I think you can make it work, even mm-hmm. as a female. So you either have to be of noble birth, so you have to forge that in some way. But I speak multiple languages, including French, which is the language of court. And unquote, uneducated people, you know, which is the sort of troubling caste system of the time that we're mostly past. We have a different caste system now. So I could at least get an
billionaires
audience.
Billionaires and everyone else.
Right. I could at least get an audience at court and probably fake my way into a meeting because I speak French, because it's lingua franca.
Because everybody else outside the gates is like, hello, governor.
Actually, fun fact, British people didn't speak with that accent. They spoke like North Americans do until after they colonized. And then they affected that accent to sound different than the North Americans.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't believe me, there's a ton of great articles about that. That's a real thing yeah. that happened. And the reason that in old movies they still affect that accent is just because it's a cultural shorthand. I think that's fascinating. I think mm-hmm. that is super cool. So I speak in the same dialect as they would be speaking at the time, or closer. Now they would have had different pronunciation because
and vocabulary,
food, blood, and good all rhymed per their pronunciation. But I also speak French, so I think that I'd have the upper hand. So basically, you either have to be of noble birth, so either forge a document, which is basically a letter. I could do that, I think, or I could pay someone to do that.
Mm-hmm.
With
your like watch or what necklace or whatever.
Yeah, or I could like kill them Nikes. Afterward or whatever. I don't. Ew, Nikes are the most uncomfortable shoes.
Yes, but to this my Nikes are quite comfortable, by the way. This is not sponsored by Nike.
I don't like Nikes. They can have my Converse shoes.
They would look at sneakers as like,
amazing,
oh my God.
Right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I would be
the most comfortable shoes
I would be
of all
healthier
time.
And cleaner. And I mean, not to sound too full of myself, probably more beautiful. Then, because I bathe regularly.
Well, let me ask you this as well.
So, I think I could do it.
Well, two things here. Okay, so, and I'm very curious about your plan. I like this call. I love this podcast already. I think, to be honest with you, I know we advertise like Jason and Ashley's podcast as sort of like get to know us, but like, I think us going conspiracy theory is awesome. Okay.
I've actually spent a lot of time.
All right, let's take. Okay, well, I want to come back to your plan of the court. Check that. We're going to come back to that.
Yeah.
Number one, there are diseases around this time
that we don't have right now and that we are not inoculated
for. Is that ever a concern for you?
It's definitely a concern.
Okay.
And their sanitation is not what it is now. However, they did have soap that's made out of a lot of the same things that we actually still make soap out of.
Yeah, animal fat. There you go.
Yeah, just without... they did have perfume. Mm-hmm. They did have citrus. They did have sponges. They did have vinegar. Like, they had all the things that you can use... Mm-hmm. to keep clean.
Yeah.
So for me, like, I'm not a clean freak and I'm not a germaphobe, but I definitely would become one in that time.
Okay, so now my other question is going back to the court. Mm-hmm. So, okay,
you... Because I don't want to go live in a cottage. That's a smart thing to do, live in a cottage in Scotland somewhere.
So you speak French.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume that you've gotten a royal dress.
I have a nice enough dress.
You have a fancy dress.
You only need one dress because no one changes their clothes.
You've probably traded all of your modern day stuff, your clothes, whatever you're wearing your back. Because mm-hmm. I'm just going to say that you came here... with only the stuff you had in your bag. So maybe
I have my purse and everything in my purse.
You have your purse. Okay. You probably have your cell phone.
Yeah.
You know, but you've...
I got some lip balm.
Let's say you've traded all your modern day clothes, because I think you could even trade the shirt off your back to a merchant and they'd be like, oh my God, what is this?
Well, think about this and... nobody get weird about that, but think about like showing someone what a modern bra looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about what that would be. Because like, if you sold that to a garment maker...
they would try to copy
mm-hmm.
it. Yeah. Okay, so you have your fancy dress.
Yeah.
You have your fake letter.
Yeah.
You get the meeting.
I'd need a wig, though, because they all have long hair.
You get the wig. You have everything.
Yeah.
You get the meeting.
Yeah.
You're walking into court.
Yeah.
Elizabeth is right in front of you.
Yeah.
Okay. Not in French, please. but what do you... What's your pitch to... What's your pitch to Elizabeth?
My pitch is that I'm a renowned French healer.
Okay.
And I would have three letters... from different French nobles that I know per records...
Were around that time,
but had no direct contact with Elizabeth.
Mm.
So she
couldn't check up on you.
Right. Or it would be more difficult to check up.
Oh, okay.
And I would offer her my services as a healer and a midwife, because even my limited knowledge of basic first aid and basic medicine is beyond what anyone else.
And I know your knowledge of basic first aid, so that's saying something.
But truly think about it.
I know. Compared to them,
I'm just saying
like your knowledge of first aid compared to my knowledge of first aid is quite different.
Look, one of us was not in the army, and that's me.
Yeah, one of us did not have combat medic training.
Yeah.
Actually, real quick. How old is the queen at this time? What age are you going to see her? Because you got to choose what time period you go. You go when she's old, or you go when she's young?
I don't know how old she is when she's crowned, so let me look it up real quick.
Okay.
But she would...
Would that make a difference?
Or not she's the queen, yeah.
No. With her age, do you think like an older Elizabeth would accept you more or a younger Elizabeth would accept you more?
I think a younger Elizabeth would be more on my side because...
Yeah, you just know more about this time period is why I'm asking.
Yeah. I think a younger Elizabeth... I think I could convince her to be interested in me.
Interesting. Elizabeth would be like, get the hell out of here?
She got real crotchety in her old age.
Okay.
I also think that when she was young, and her court is very famous for bringing in a lot of philosophers and creative people and scientists.
Yeah.
Like, she was a smart lady who enjoyed smart people.
Okay, so you think if you go in there and you're like, I'm this super medical French midwife that knows all these noblemen, yaha.
So I'm just trying to do some quick math. She was born in 1533 and was crowned in 1558. Making her 25.
Okay, so you'd want to go somewhere.
I'd want to go
15,
somewhere 20.
59?
I want to go somewhere like 25 to 30. Like, I'd want to catch her in the first 5 years.
So
also, when you're building up your closest allies in your reign.
So 1560s.
Yeah,
is when you're hitting her.
I think so.
Okay, 1561. Let's say that's a year.
Plus, if I make it, I mean, I would be close in age to her, so like we could be peers. And then if I live out the rest of my days there, I get to meet William Shakespeare.
When does he show up?
He shows up. I don't know when he first comes to court. I'd have to look that up as well. But she was his first royal patron, and then she died, and King James funded the second half of his career.
Look, all students of history know that William Shakespeare was not a real human being. He was actually just a sack full of birds.
Can I tell you how much I hate that theory?
He's a sack full of birds that they threw into court. And they're like, oh, good idea.
I don't subscribe to the idea that he wrote everything on his own.
He did not.
There were definitely helper monkeys. You can look at some of like the witches' speeches in the Scottish play. And I don't know the name, but there's a lesser playwright who wrote those. You can tell by comparing the rhyme structure and the syllables to this person's writing. Like, I understand that. But there was a man named William Shakespeare.
I'm going to say
who did
this.
The lion's share of the
I'm
work.
I'm going to say this. I think that William Shakespeare is like Stan Lee.
I would agree with that.
That he agreed. I agree with you. He did 75%. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll say 60. Shakespeare's different. With Stanley, I'll be like, I think it's like 75. But with Shakespeare, I think it's like 60. Because am I saying his name right? Christopher Marlowe?
Yeah.
Yeah. There is a couple plays that Christopher wrote, and William did not give him credit.
I also love Kit Marlowe, Dr. Faustus, because he was... If you don't know a lot about Renaissance English theater, he was the main playwright, the royal playwright before Shakespeare. And then Ben Jonson was the person who came after him and probably assisted on some of the later plays.
And there's a lot of theories out there that think that Christopher Marlowe would have written the great plays if Shakespeare hadn't have ripped him off.
Yeah, I don't know if I wholly agree with that.
You know, so.
I just don't know enough about.
Sandman sort of deals with that a little bit.
That's
the
cool.
Sandman Neil Gaiman comic, which is kind of interesting.
But yeah.
I don't know if I do that anyway. So you're going to go there and... Okay.
Also, the reason that... I didn't mention it, but the reason that I would pose myself as a healer and a medicine woman is because Elizabeth didn't want to have a baby, but she wanted to have sexual intercourse. And because she wasn't she refused to get married.
So did she just not have sex? What happened here?
No, she had tons of affairs, and she used all of their available birth control services and probably had a couple abortions, maybe miscarriages, because her mother, Anne Boleyn, had three, maybe up to six miscarriages
before
Elizabeth was born. So you're
going to introduce like the condom, like super early?
Not necessarily, but I feel like if I could get in on that level and I could help her and I could be of service in a way that nobody else could, I could get in her good graces just for that.
Interesting. Okay. So modern women's healthcare.
Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it sounds like she didn't need it back at the time, though, but she survived through
this
stuff.
She did survive, yeah. But
okay.
I bet I could teach her some tricks.
Sure.
Because I don't want to get into too much the birth control of the 1600s, but they were icky, guys.
Yeah, it was like
15 to 1600.
Lamb intestines.
Yeah, I bet I could teach her some tricks that are a little less cumbersome than... The ones that she had to undertake.
This is not what this time. This is about time travel, damn it.
But truly, that's where I think my skills are.
This is fascinating. Is that the only place you'd want to go?
No, but if I could only go once.
Yeah, it's a one-way ticket.
I'm assuming I can only go once, and I have to spend the rest of my life there. That's where I would want to go because I'm fascinated.
I don't have an answer now if it's a one-way ticket.
I'm fascinated with that time period in general. And like I said, because I know a lot about it, and look, not everything you read in the history book is accurate.
Oh, no.
But it would be better than being dropped somewhere I know jack nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that I could skirt some of the worst times. Also, if this time was disintegrating and we had to go into the past, I would just write down every time the plague rolled into the town and I'd be like, I'm going to Scotland. See you later.
Mm-hmm. And then stay away for like 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
You know, like I think I could make it. Mm. Also... Yeah, I don't know. They have pretty clothes. I would be the cleanest, best-looking person there.
You would be.
And my teeth wouldn't fall out.
Yeah.
That would be my luxury item. I'd bring a toothbrush.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one thing I wouldn't trade. I'd be like, I really need this. Thank you.
That's interesting.
If I could go other places, I mean, I think it would be amazing to go back to, like, the dawn of time to, like, maybe not cave people, but like a Mesopotamia,
mm-hmm.
like to see what the first people
go to Ub and Ur.
Yeah. The first people who created what we think of as, you know, reading, writing, math, poetry, to see those parts of the world and to see them, you know, because a lot of that would be like Middle East and Africa, to see them before they fell into the strife that they're in today. And then if I could just do like a tour de force, I'd probably just go see all the cool people that we learned about in history class and become slowly and slowly more disappointed and learn that humans were a garbage fire at all times during history.
They were.
You know?
They were. They're always a garbage
fire. If I'm in my bubble and I don't have to get out of my bubble, then I'd go different places than if I had to get out of my bubble.
Mm-hmm.
You know? My time travel device. I don't know. Is there one for you? You always say the Wild West.
Well, if it's a one-way ticket, I'm not going to the Wild West.
You know?
That would suck.
Right. Because if it's a one-way ticket, it's tough to not just be like, yeah, I'm going to go live in a cottage in the woods and never come out.
I mean, if it's a one-way ticket, I kind of want it to be like the 1950s.
Yeah? So you have modern convenience. You think that's as far back as you can go and be... and live comfortably?
Well, yes.
Or in a standard closer to what you're accustomed to?
Yes, because in the 1950s, most people have electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Most people have toilets.
Mm-hmm.
Most people have kind of the standard of living that we have. Like
cars are not uncommon.
Cars are very common in the 1950s. I mean, you could probably push that forward to the 1920s. But the problem is that if you go to the 1920s, and I know this for a fact, is my grandfather, who was born in 1926, once told me the story of that he remembered in the 1930s when they first got electricity.
Wow.
So that just gives you an idea of like, oh, wow. So like even in the 1930s, not everybody had electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I truly think just knowing you being stuck in the 1950s, because it is close enough to modern age, I could just see you like constantly having like internal conniption fits over like the sexism and racism and just being like, why is this happening?
I actually, to be honest with you, I think I would become a hermit.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always said this.
You could become a secluded author.
Well, I've always said that if that ever happened, I would go to the 1950s and I would write everything that we know of. Like I would write Star Wars.
Yeah.
I would write Lost. Mm. I would write like all this. Like I would just write all the stuff that you already know. And then like in between those books, I'd write the books that I want to write.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because then people would buy them. You know, like I'd out Stephen King. You know, or I'd try to be like I try to remember what.
Wow,
what's
he
up.
Invented the cell phone in the 50s.
Oh my God, where did that come from? Like I'd write Star Wars, and then people would be like, oh my God, this Star Wars thing. And then I would write Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before Gene Roddenberry.
If
got
you write
to it.
Star Wars, are you writing anything past the original trilogy?
No, I don't think so. But I am right. I would rewrite the prequels.
Oh yeah,
because I do think Anakin's story does help the original trilogy. But I would rewrite the prequels.
Okay.
But I would do it the way that they did it. Like I would show you 4, 5, and 6 uh-huh. first, and then go back because I think that's a smart idea. Because I think that would just you'd roll in the bank, you know, and you'd go to the movies. And I'm trying to think of like there's a big novel in the 70s that comes out. It says probably Stephen King. Yeah, it's like It and Cujo and stuff like that.
I don't know. Almost Catcher in the Rye written.
You know, I think before that, I don't know. But yeah, I think the 1950s would be about the earliest I'd want to go. If it's a one-way ticket, mm-hmm. that's where I want to go, is I want to go to the 1950s. Because yeah, you can...
Do you go to America because you risk crossing your own timeline?
I mean, I don't cross my timeline.
But you're a familial timeline.
I could cross my parents' timeline. No, I could cross my grandparents' timeline in the 50s, not my parents'.
I'm assuming you're living into the 60s, 70s, 80s.
Yes. I mean, but like, as long as I stay away from a certain, you know, here's the thing. If I'm writing Star Wars and Lost and all that stuff, like, I'm already massively altering the timeline.
Do you keep your name or do you go under an alter ego?
I'd probably give myself a comic book name.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd probably be like, I'm Kyle Rayner.
I'm Scott Summers.
Like, no, Scott Summers would be around by then. He'd show up in the 60s.
Uh-huh.
But also, there'd be the thing of like, oh, could I write the Fantastic Four before Stan Lee?
If it was the first thing you did, you could.
You know, could you do that?
The trick is finding someone to publish
it. Could you go into Timely Comics with Stan Lee and be like, I have this idea.
I'm going to throw some real shade. He might just steal it from you.
He could. He probably would. Maybe I'm the reason that, you know, the Fantastic Four happens. But yeah, if I can go to anywhere, I mean, the stupid easy answer is the future. If I time travel
anywhere. I always
assume
that time travel is to the past.
That's kind of why, because that's my problem is I don't have anywhere where I go if it's a one-way trip. Like, it's the 1950s.
Also, how do you not know that the future's not even more of a garbage fire and the planet's not
You don't
fire?
Know. If it's Mad Max, then you're even worse.
You're so much worse with no prior knowledge. At least going into the past, you could have the upper hand.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if a time portal opens and you see a desert and it's like, walk through, like, how do you know?
Yeah.
You don't. You know, at least in the Old West, I could kind of do the same thing. Like, I could be the newspaper man.
Yeah.
Or I could be a pretty decent photographer, which at the time, actually, the funny
thing was, real skill.
It was a great profession because all the cowpokes and stuff like that wanted their picture taken.
Because it was a novelty.
Yeah, so you could make a lot of money being a photographer. Also, you could do the same thing. Like, you could become a notable writer. Imagine going to find Mark Twain and being like, hey, Mark Twain, I have this idea about a starship where the crew works together. And he's like, my word, that is just tickles my fancy.
I'm trying to imagine what Mark Twain looks like, and all I can draw up in my brain is a picture of Karl Marx.
Big bushy white beard, big
right,
bushy
which
hair.
Is what Karl Marx looks like.
But I think like you could have like fascinating conversations with like Mark Twain. And then Mark Twain is going to introduce you to Thomas Edison. And I know Thomas Edison was like a pretty despicable businessman.
To quote Drunk History, Edison was an asshole.
Yeah. But
Mark Twain looks like he's insane.
But having a conversation with Edison would be fascinating.
Do you think you can call him Mr. Twain, or do you think it has to be Mr. Clemens?
From what I have read, he always said, call me Mr. Clemens.
Mm.
He did not like to be called Mr. Twain outside of his books.
Interesting.
And his writings. I have heard that. Mm-hmm. But it kind of became like a party thing. I like Mark Twain a lot, even though I know he's a racist.
Have you? Well,
he's a racist.
It comes with the territory. Have you seen the video, the only video footage of him that exists?
Yes.
I think that's fascinating.
Yes, yes. And it
he's
blew.
He's just walking around.
And that was filmed by Thomas Edison.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Oh, well, Edison, you get 0.5 more points.
Did you know we owe everything of modern movies to Thomas Edison?
Not to the Lumieres?
No, Thomas Edison. Because Thomas Edison became fascinated with it, and he had the money to pump into it.
Mm.
So the modern movie camera comes from Edison.
That's
it does,
cool.
Yeah. He was inspired by the other guys,
the Lumieres.
Yeah,
Which hilariously means lights.
Yeah. Like Edison is again. Like it's interesting when you go through history. Like we were talking about Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Edison's kind of the same way because Edison took some ideas from Tesla too.
Well, it's because there was no Twitter back then to call motherfuckers out on there.
Yeah.
So quick sidebar. I follow this artist called Piccolo, and he draws the really cool teenage Teen Titans fan art.
I know what you're talking about.
Chris Brown, the rapper, stole one
Recolored
of his
it.
And put it on a t-shirt, was trying to sell it, and he screenshotted it and put it out there, and it was taken down.
Yeah.
You couldn't do things like that and get such an immediate. That's one of the good things about the internet.
That's
now.
One positive of social media.
Is you can't.
People will call people.
Or you can do
well,
it
like
with less efficiency.
The solo posters stealing that weird jazz musician guy.
Yeah,
all these jazz CDs, they have the exact same cover, the exact same font.
Oh, solo. So you're gonna go see Mark Twain. You're going to go to the Old West.
If
you're going on a tour, where else would you like to hit?
Ancient Greece.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see that.
Is there a specific philosopher or emperor that you'd like to see? Emperor's Roman,
I
want to
see
sorry.
Socrates.
Socrates?
I want to see Socrates. I want to learn, did Homer actually write the Odyssey?
I want to know if Homer was one dude.
I
believe more than with Homer than with Shakespeare that he might have been a collective.
I think the Odyssey was sort of passed around.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I want to learn that. I want to see Socrates. I want to go to Rome, especially during Julius Caesar's time, and see if we've gotten any of that anywhere right.
To see if it was as great.
Yes, to see if it was as great as it was. That's what I would love to see. Trying to think. I'd like to see the Great Wall of China being built.
Mm-hmm. I would like to see a lot of those ancient, like I'd love to see like Notre Dame or mm-hmm. like a great structure or the pyramids.
Yeah.
Like how did ancient people manage that?
But to be honest with you, like, okay, if I have a time travel machine, and let's say the time travel master, Rip Hunter, or whatever his name is, and I'm in the time bubble, mm-hmm. and he goes, you can only see, you'll never leave this bubble, one place.
Mm-hmm.
I can take you anywhere you want to go. Where do you go? And I think without missing a beat, I tell him the 24th century. Simply for the reason of not only is it Star Trek century, mm-hmm. but... for the matter of that, if I'm going to see anything, like to me, I'm kind of like, well, I know about the past.
Mm-hmm.
I got to know, do we make it?
Mm-hmm.
Do we make it?
It's just a fucking black waste of space.
Yeah, it's just like, it's like rubble.
He's like, yeah, man, you blew it.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, how are you here then? And he's like, oh, I'm the weird colony.
I live on Mars.
I'm the weird humans that were kidnapped by aliens.
Yeah.
And we've been on Alpha Centauri for 10,000 years.
Yeah, we're the Lost in Space family.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk a little bit. Let's finish out this podcast. How do you you said a little bit that you think you can only time travel to the past? How do you think the rules of time are? Do you have any personal beliefs of like how you think time is?
I don't believe in fate. I don't believe in destiny.
Well,
I don't think it's fixed.
Mm-hmm.
You believe
free will exists?
I do.
Okay.
And I think it's fluid. In that, and you and I had a discussion about this a couple weeks ago, which is what prompted this podcast.
I think it was a couple days ago.
I'm not good at time, guys.
In the time podcast.
Yeah, it was like last week, right? Or was it earlier this week? I don't know.
It was literally 2 days ago.
It was not 2 days ago.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't. 2 days ago was Thursday.
Just admitted she's not good at time.
It was not 2 days ago.
Yes, it was.
No, it was when we went to the post office. It was not 2 days ago. You said something that I also believe, that like all time is happening all the time.
Yeah. All of time is happening. I have the theory that I believe all of time is happening right now.
Yeah, simultaneously.
It's constantly all flowing. It's like a giant river, and that we're just at a different point of the river than the people 500 years ago, 400 years,
yes.
and 400 years in our future.
I agree with that.
We're all in the same river.
I agree with that. And I also believe in M theory, like the infinite possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And then the part of me that's afraid to die wants to believe that when you die, you just go to another reality and you live your whatever your life was there.
Yep, you're now Ashley with blue hair.
Yeah, or whatever.
Or one arm. Or Ashley the boy.
Or I'm Ashley who never left Canada, or, you mm-hmm. know, like whatever. And I think, like, I would like to think that that's how you just keep going and you experience all of it. But that idea doesn't, if it's all fluid, then it all matters and nothing matters. So you can go back in time and do whatever you want. I don't think you
because
could...
Because you were always going to go back in time and you were always going to do
that. No, that's predestination.
Oh, but that's...
If it's fluid, then you can go back. But if it's fluid, then it's always changing.
Interesting.
And it's always what it is. So then if you go back in time, it doesn't matter because everything is still going. But I think I do believe that you couldn't go to the future, or that would be hard to go to the future, because I don't know if you can go to something you can't conceive of.
I said that in our previous conversation too, that I have a theory that like there are rules to time, like how nature has rules of the planet.
Yeah.
I think nature has rules to time, and I do believe that. And it's funny, it's a concept that I first came across in a Dean Koontz book called Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, if you've never read that book, it's awesome, because it's sort of, it came out way before The Time Traveler's Wife, and I kind of think The Time Traveler's Wife sort of ripped it off.
Maybe.
But it's about this little girl who sees this man, and throughout different parts of her life, she sees this man. And then eventually when she grows up, she finally meets the man again, and he's really injured, and she helps him, and she sees that he's in a Nazi uniform.
Mm.
And she's in modern day, so she's like in the 1980s when this book was written. And so she learns that the Nazis built a time travel device, and in their world, they introduced the idea that you can only travel to the future because it's not set in stone. You cannot travel to the past because it's locked.
Yeah.
And I kind of think that it's a little bit of the, like, yeah, that I kind of believe that theory as well. Like, there's sort of the thing, like maybe you can't travel back in the past because you cannot change anything.
Yeah.
And because you'll break the space-time continuum. But if you do travel to the past, it's meant that you were always supposed to travel to the past. Like, it was always part of that history.
Yeah. And when I think about it, I like the idea that you can't travel within so many generations of when you exist, because you might...
You can't travel outside of that. Or you have to go beyond that.
You can't travel in that bubble because you might screw it up too badly.
Oh, interesting. Because Quantum Leap has the theory that you can only travel within your own lifetime.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
Because it's something about shifting your atoms or some stuff like that. I can't remember what they say, but it's like the idea that he can't travel beyond his own lifetime.
I mean, that's a great idea. Yeah. But I would think that...
It also made the budget of the show really cheap.
Right.
Because he never went beyond 1950.
If you're trying to think of it in like that meta-narrative perspective... of like what would be healthy for the planet and what would be healthy for the timeline and all that, then you going back and being a blip in the
1800s,
1230s doesn't matter.
Overall, really doesn't change that much.
And it wouldn't change, it would be less likely to affect your direct timeline, particularly if you go to a different geographical location than anywhere that you or your family is from. Whereas like if I went back to the 1950s in Canada, in the province that my family lived in, I could mess up stuff because that's when my grandparents are alive.
Yeah, but there's also there's very much the butterfly effect that you don't know. Like if you accidentally
if you're going to go time travel, you have such little regard for preserving.
Oh, sure. But I'm just saying like you could accidentally do one thing. Like there's so many.
Sure.
It's like the idea of JLA the nail. Like one flat tire could cosmically change everything.
But if I'm traveling back, if I'm going to do it, I'm not worrying about
it. You've already cared.
I refuse.
No, you can't.
Yeah. Unless it gets to the point where it becomes like a tourist thing. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you can pay $100 and you can go back
five years. Through the bubble.
Yeah, or whatever. If you're going to do it in the first place, then you just have to mostly be concerned with surviving.
Cool. All right. So the last section of this podcast is always, what are you reading? Ashley, what are you reading right now?
Reading a lot of Constantine Hellblazer right now.
Constantine Hellblazer.
I'm also reading a Cole Porter biography, the one that NPR said was the best.
Who's Cole Porter, just in case anybody doesn't know?
If you don't know, you should open up your Spotify or iTunes or your music playlist and search for Cole Porter. He's a very prolific Broadway composer. You may know him from such great things as Anything Goes and Kiss Me, Kate. Kiss Me, Kate is so good and so underrated. And I am reading his biography right now. How about you?
I'm starting The Escape Artist by Brad Meltzer, comic book writer, and also I've heard this book is really great. He basically gives you the opening pitch of it on, if you listen to Fat Man on Batman, a Smodcast with Kevin Smith. Brad Meltzer was on there and he gives the opening pitch of the book, and as soon as he said that, I was like, I'm buying it.
Yeah.
I am. So I'm reading it.
Cool. You liking it so far?
Yeah, it's good.
Good.
It's exactly what I thought it was.
Great.
Which he said in the podcast.
Yeah.
So there you go. And now we're at the part of the podcast where we don't know how to end the podcast, because I'm certain we have a catchphrase or anything like that, and we talk about it and we argue about it, and let's just skip right past that. I'm Jason Edmund.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
Goodbye, super friends.
Bye.